Okay, take your Bibles and go over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, that's where we're going to read our text, verse 7 through 9. John chapter 10, verse 7 through 9. I enjoy old-fashioned Sunday. I have a lot of childhood memories from old-fashioned Sunday, all the good times we had dressing up and doing crazy things on Sunday nights of old-fashioned Sunday. I feel rather comfortable this morning with bibs on, and I grew up on a farm, so I enjoy these bibs. All I need is a piece of straw sticking out of my teeth, and we'll be just good. I was informed this morning on my bus route that I didn't have enough padding in my bib overalls, so I'm going to the potluck to do some business, all right? So we're going to put a hurting on that place. All right, John chapter 10 and verse 7, you're over there. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to read verse 7 through 9, if you'll join me on verse 8. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that we're able to have a copy of your word in our hands this morning. God, I thank you that we're able to preach from it. God, thank you that you promised that you would come and meet with us where two or three are gathered together. Lord, I pray that you would do just that this morning. God, in my own words, I will not be helpful this morning. But if your Holy Spirit helps me to say the right words, then everyone will be helped. And so, Lord, that's my request this morning. I pray that you'd fill the message and bless the special as they come and sing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mine could then be saved. This holy rest.
Stephanie for that song. Calvary, thank God for Calvary. Thank God that we're able to sit here in the auditorium saved on our way to heaven. Amen. We're over in John chapter 10, and we read verse 7 through 9. And Jesus here is talking about a parable. And many times when Jesus was going through a heavenly truth, he would explain it through a parable. And a parable is a heavenly truth with earthly explanation to it. And so Jesus is using this parable. He's talking about the sheepfold. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. The result of the parable is, or the thing that brought the parable to pass, is the Pharisees, they brought a blind man to Jesus. And they said, "Jesus, why is this boy blind? Is it because of his sin? Or is it the sin of his father or mother? Who is at fault here?" And Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he said, "Pharisees, I'm going to tell you a parable." And that's where we pick up reading here in John chapter 10 and verse 7. I want to speak to you the message entitled 3 in 1. 3 in 1. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us now as we open up your scripture. God, your word is very powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. And it can convict our hearts, Lord. It can strengthen us. And it can encourage us. So, Lord, I pray that it would minister the work that needs to be done here this morning in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Jesus told the disciples as they were gathered around, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is as a sheepfold. A sheepfold that thieves may climb over the wall, and they may come to steal and to rob. But I am the door." In verse 9 it says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus likens himself many times unto different earthly objects. Sometimes he likened himself unto the bread of life. Sometimes Jesus likened himself unto water. Other times Jesus said he was the true vine. Sometimes Jesus said he is the good shepherd. Here in this passage of Scripture, Jesus says he is the door. The door to the sheepfold. Now let me explain a sheepfold to you just a little bit this morning. I grew up on a farm and we raised sheep. We had 15 sheep, sometimes up towards 20 sheep. And there's different jobs that I think my dad had the sheep just to keep us boys busy. I think that's what it was all about, keep us out of mischief. We still found mischief, but I think that was his goal. But he would have the sheep, and we would have to haul the water to the sheep, and we would have to feed the sheep, and we would have to dock tails, and we'd watch the shear the sheep, and all those different things. But the sheepfold in Israel, there is the occupation of the shepherd was a very common occupation. And he would take his sheep, whether it was a small group of sheep or several hundred sheep, and he would go on the hillsides of Israel and he would bring them to pastures where they could feed and they could gain nutrients from those different hillsides. And so the shepherd was always looking for different pastures to bring his sheep to. But while he was out there on the hillside, he needed a place to protect those sheep, and that was called the sheepfold. Whether it was a gated area, a fenced area, or whether it was a more of a building type structure, the shepherd made sure his sheep was going to be protected from the coyotes and from the wolves out there. And as Jesus talks about sheep or wolves coming in and taking sheep away. And so the shepherd, he would set up an area that would provide protection for these sheep. And sometimes the shepherd would stand right there in the doorway of that sheepfold, and he would make sure that nothing comes in the entryway of that sheepfold. And he would protect those sheep by standing there and being, as you will please, a gate to the sheepfold. And so Jesus said to the disciples and to the Pharisees that were standing around, "I am the door. I am as the shepherd that stands in the entryway of that sheepfold, and I protect my sheep." And praise God, you and I are his sheep. The Bible says that when we trust Jesus Christ as His Savior, He likens us, it's a figure of speech once again, He likens us unto His sheep. So this morning, I am one of God's children. You are one of God's children if you've been born again. You are also a sheep in God's fold. God likens you unto that. But the Bible says that Jesus told the Pharisees and the disciples this parable. In verse 9 is what I want to preach from. I am the door. Jesus says that He is the door. You see, there's only one entryway. There's only one entryway, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the entryway. In verse 7, He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. Don't you feel protected this morning? Jesus Christ is your door in the sheepfold. Jesus said in verse 9, I am the door. Now, I can remember when we were growing up, we had a barn. We didn't have a sheepfold necessarily as far as a fenced-in area. But we had a barn, and the barn's door, there was only one way the sheep could go in and out. And this door was about, I would say, about 3, maybe 3.5 feet tall. And one day, us boys, we got the great idea, grand idea of riding the sheep. We thought we could use them as horses and go out on our rampage. We're going to find the Indians or the cowboys. I don't know which one. But we're going to go out and we're going to ride our horses. So we saddled onto our little sheep and we started riding around the barn. And we got some speed, and then the sheep decided to go exit the barn. And there wasn't enough room for the sheep and myself. And so one smacked his head right on the wall and flopped off the sheep. And that was me, amen. But there's only one entry in and out of the barn. There's only one entry in and out of the fold. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. A door is the entryway by which you and I reach a desired destiny. Many times or many, we will go through many doors in one day. This morning, I went out my door. I opened my car door, got in the car. I drove to church, opened up the church door, walked through the church door, went into the, opened up my office door, went into my office. Many doors you have passed through already this morning. There's one door you must go through in your lifetime, and that is the door, Jesus Christ. You must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I believe the greatest door is Jesus. I believe the greatest door a person can ever walk through is the door, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus said in verse 1, look out, there's going to be people that are trying to climb over the walls. There's going to be people that try to steal the sheep. Look out, they are robbers and thieves. And I believe in verse 1, He says, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is a thief and a robber. The Bible says that our efforts in getting into the sheepfold, our efforts in getting into heaven, will not get us there. Our efforts aren't good enough to get us to heaven. We can work and we can labor and we can try to be the best person possible. But God says we can't climb, our efforts can't climb us into the gates of heaven or into the walls of heaven. I must go through the door, Jesus Christ. You must go through the door, Jesus Christ. You see, the Pharisees, he said, Brother Kay, why would he tell the Pharisees that they can't climb up over the sheepfold? Because the Pharisees, they believed that their good works would get them to heaven. They believed the better they, or the best person that kept the Mosaic law would get into heaven. But Jesus Christ said, it's not by you keeping the law. It's what I'm going to do on the cross of Calvary that's going to get you to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, none of works, lest any man should boast. You must go through the door. The door is Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can try to skip around Jesus. It's not going to happen. You won't find yourself in that place called heaven. I remember, I think preacher told you a few Sunday nights ago, we were driving down the road as we were passing this this temple, Shadi Temple. I told the person that was with me, Nick, I said, we're going to pull in here. We're going to find out what's in this place. So we pulled in and we decided that we were going to see the auditorium of that old church. They had taken the auditorium, they had stripped all the pews out, and there was a great big Shadi idol there, and they had just put him to sleep. And many of you already know the story. I asked them, so when do you wake him up? Well, it's about 7:30 in the morning. We wake him up. And I said, he said, then I have to feed him. Then I have to bathe him. Then we have to bring his food to him and keep him warm and all these different things. I'm glad that Jesus Christ doesn't need my help to minister to his needs, but I need his help to minister to my needs. And I'm the one that needs Jesus Christ's blood to wash away my sins and enable me to go to heaven. We all have the same desired destiny, but there's only one door. We all want to get in to that sheepfold, or might I say, we all want to get into heaven, but there's only one way. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. What Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. You see, the door is always open. I'm glad that the door is open for the poorest person in Bourbonnais, Bradley, Kankakee, in the River Valley. I'm glad that the door is open for the poorest person. I'm also glad that the door is open for the richest person in this community. You see, it doesn't matter how smart a person is or how non-intellectual a person is. It really doesn't matter. The door is always open for those who want to come to Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus Christ said, I'm the door. I believe over the arch of the door would be the words, whosoever will. Whosoever will. It doesn't matter, a young child or an old man, a young girl or an old lady can trust Jesus Christ as the Savior, or a teenager. It doesn't matter the age, but it's whosoever will. I believe that the welcome mat would have to say, all men anywhere. All men everywhere must come through this door. You see, I can't work my way to heaven. Neither can you. You can't be a good enough person. Our righteousness, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. They do all fade as a leaf. There's a man by the name of Mel Trotter, born in Illinois. He was born, his dad was, he was a bartender, owned a bar down south in Illinois, and moved up towards the Rockford area. And by the age of 17, he began to bartend. And began to drink and gamble, and alcohol got a grip of his life. Decided he was going to move out to Iowa to get away from the crowd and to get over to a place to start a new beginning. And got over there and he began to drink once again, and he began to have the grip of alcohol grab his life. He married a young lady and they began to have kids. One day he was out on a 6-day drunken binge. He came home to his wife holding his little baby in her arms and crying. And he said to his wife, I'll never drink again. I'm finished with it. His wife and him stood at the casket a few days later and watched their little baby be lowered down into the grave. Mel Trotter left that graveside and he went to the bar. 2 hours later, after leaving that graveside, he came home drunk. And his wife said, I thought you said you weren't going to drink anymore. And he said, it's got too much of a grip on me. I can't get over it. He hopped on a train and he rode all the way to Chicago. He said, I'll drink my last dollar away and I'll commit suicide in Lake Michigan. And so that winter in January 19th, he went and he got his last drink and he sold his shoes off of his feet in a blizzard. And he left the bar on his way to Lake Michigan to jump into that cold grave of his. As he was walking down the streets, he came across a mission. Pacific Garden Mission, there was a man out there. His name was Tom. Tom wanted to go inside. It was so cold outside that night. And the blizzard was howling so hard. Tom wanted to go in, but he felt like the Lord wanted to keep him out there. Wanted him to stay out there looking for one last person. So Tom was standing there by the door of the Pacific Garden Mission. As he was standing, he saw a shadow coming down the street. And eventually he could see who it was. It was Mel Trotter making his way to Lake Michigan. And as Mel Trotter walked past the mission, Tom said, "Hey, sir, why don't you come on in? We have a warm bed for you. We have a warm meal for you. Why don't you come and spend the night here?" So Mel Trotter turned and he came in. He walked through those doors. He sat down in the back row. A man by the name of Harry Monroe stood up. He began to preach. He preached Jesus Christ. And boy, Mel Trotter began to listen. He got down on his knees and he asked Jesus Christ to save him, wash away all his sins. And I want to tell you this morning, just as the door of that mission was open, stayed open for Mel Trotter, Jesus Christ, the door is always open for you and I. It's always open. Lost sinner today, Jesus Christ can take you just the way you are. He can wash your sins away. He can make a home in heaven for you if you simply walk through the door. I am the door. You see, we find one door. We also find that there's one solution. That's salvation in Jesus Christ. There's one solution. The Bible says in verse 9, "I am the door. By me." I love those two words. By me. Amen. There's none other but by Jesus Christ. "If any man enter in, he shall be saved." You see, the same remedy for every person is applied. Doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter, like I said, the financial status of the person. The same application is applied to that person, and that is salvation. My need this morning is salvation. Your need this morning is salvation. You say, "Brother Caleb, I have so many different things going on in my life. How could salvation help me?" Trust me, friend, salvation is the remedy for your life. You say, "Brother Caleb, I fear that relationships are on the rocks of society. Brother Caleb, I don't feel like I can continue on anymore." Let me tell you, your hope is in salvation. You see, you go to the lady at the well. "Ma'am, how many marriages have you had?" She would say, "Five. And I'm living with another man." She said, "I don't know. My life is wrecked and ruined. What should I do?" And Jesus said, "I know. You need salvation." You go to the maniac of Gadara that's wandered up and down those tombstones, cutting himself and crying out and screaming. You ask that maniac of Gadara, "Sir, what do you need? What helped you, sir?" He said, "Well, it wasn't money. It wasn't all the counseling that I got. No, but it was Jesus Christ. And Him alone." You see, salvation is the answer for your problems this morning. You go to the Ethiopian eunuch there in the desert as he's riding his chariot across those sandy deserts. And you hop up on that chariot and you say, "Sir, what helped you?" And he would have to say, "A man by the name of Philip came and preached to me Jesus Christ. And I bowed my head and accepted Jesus." You see, it was salvation that helped him. You go to the Philippian jailer. As the Philippian jailer was about ready to fall on his sword, the Apostle Paul yells out, "Do thyself no harm." Philippian jailer, what helped you? He would have to say, "Salvation helped me." I want to tell you this morning, as you sit in the condition and the situation that you are in, salvation is your help. Salvation is your hope. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, make today the day of salvation. I was talking to a couple of teenagers yesterday, a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old. And I was showing them the plan of salvation. I said, "Sir," I said, "Ma'am, do you see that you've sinned?" And both hesitated for a few minutes. Then they realized, they said, "Yes, we see from the Bible, from the Scriptures that you just showed us, we both have sinned. We both have done wrong. Yes, we both deserve to go to hell." You see, if our solution is that we can be saved, then our problem is that we are lost. My problem before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior is that I was lost. I was lost. I was on my way to hell.
You say, Brother Caleb, how did you get to that place where you were lost? I was born that way. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We all are born under the condemnation of sin, and that is hell. And we all deserve to go to that place. We have a problem. The solution of our problem is Jesus Christ washing away our sins. And Jesus Christ saving us from our condition. One of the most sweetest words I believe in the English language is the word saved. Huh? Saved, doesn't that bring music to your ears? Saved, 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 saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. There's a man by the name of Mordecai Ham. He was preaching a service there in 1910. As he was preaching his service, right in the middle of the auditorium, there was a four-time murderer, a man who had murdered four other men, sitting right there in the middle of the auditorium. As Mordecai Ham began to preach Jesus Christ and preach that Jesus Christ can wash away his sins. And Jesus Christ was the refuge for his lost soul. The man began to come under conviction and he prayed there, God, save me from the punishment of hellfire. Save me, dear Jesus. And as he was sitting there, he leaped up in the air and he said, saved! 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 Mordecai Ham's music director looked out there and he saw this man full of excitement and full of joy that Jesus Christ had taken the guilt of his sin away. He sat down the next day and he penned a song, saved, I'm saved through Christ my all in all. I found a friend who's all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what he did, and what his grace can do for you. Saved by his power divine. Saved through new life sublime. Life now is sweet, and my joy is complete. For I'm saved, saved, saved. Amen. It's one of the most sweetest words in our language is that salvation can come to us. Saved. Mordecai Ham said that that man trusted Jesus Christ and his countenance changed. You say, Brother Caleb, I don't know how I can change my situation around. Let me tell you, there's one that does know how. And that is salvation in his work of Calvary, on Calvary. Jesus Christ can take your problem and he can fix your problem. Your biggest problem is your need of salvation. That's my biggest need. Until the day that I accepted Jesus Christ. There's a man by the name of Sam Jones. I was reading his biography the other day. Old Sam Jones was a lawyer. He's a good lawyer. And this is back in the 1800s. August of 1872, he got a call that his dad was on his deathbed. Sam Jones rushed over to his dad's bedside and his dad looked up at him in his face and said, "Son, you have brought your mother shame, and you have brought me down to the grave in grief." He said, "Son, promise me that I will see you in heaven." And his son, Sam Jones, fell on his knees and he said, "Dad, I promise you, I will do just that. I will see you in heaven." Sam Jones left his dad's bedside and he went out to one of the nearby bars. He got a cup of, or he got a drink. And as he was lifting that drink up to his mouth, he saw across the room a mirror. And he looked in the mirror and he saw where his hair was all matted and vomit was on his clothing. And he saw the shape that he was in and he said, "Sam Jones, is that all that's left of the great lawyer? Sam Jones!" And he fell to his knees and he took that glass and he shattered it on the ground. And he said, "Oh God, help me! Oh God, help me!" And the bartender came and ran to his side. She said, "What can I do for you?" Sam Jones said, "Leave me alone! Leave me alone! God is working in my heart." And he ran to that little shack of a place that he was renting. He asked the lady, "Lady, will you please make me some black coffee?" He went into that place, that little quarters that he was renting, and he drank the coffee and he locked himself in for 3 days. Sam Jones said, I went through hell in that little house that I was renting. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me from my sins. He said 3 days later, I opened the door. I was a new man. He said he went down to the suit shop and to the men's store and he bought himself a new suit. Went down and bought himself some new shoes. He got himself a tie and a new white shirt. He went down to the barber. And he asked the barber, would you cut my hair? I haven't shaved or had a haircut in over a month. Barber, would you cut my hair? And the barber cut his hair and shaved him up. He went back, knocked on his door, of his wife's door. His wife answered the door. And he said, wife, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You have a new husband. Kids, you have a new daddy. I'm on my way to heaven, and things are different now. I've changed. You say, Brother Caleb, how can salvation really help me? I don't know. You ask Sam Jones how it helped him. It got him out of the condition that he was in. And salvation can do the same for you. Salvation can help you. You see, there's one door, that's Jesus Christ. There's one solution, that's salvation in Jesus Christ. Then might I say, there's one provider, and that's Jesus. You see, the Bible says that the shepherd, in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In the Old Testament, the shepherds, they would go along the hillsides, and they would scout out the areas that they were going to move their sheep to. And they would make sure that it was good pasture, that there was plenty to eat. They made sure that there was going to be some grass and some water there so that all the needs of their flock would be met. You know what? Jesus Christ, He goes out and He finds good pastures for you and I. He finds good area where you and I can have our spiritual needs met. The Bible says, if you come, Jesus Christ said, you come to me, I'll save you, and then I'll lead you to good pasture. Praise God, Jesus Christ, He looks for us. He looks for the good and the blessed things. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. It comes from above, Jesus Christ. He gives you. He bestows blessings upon you and I. Our provider is in Jesus Christ. I'm the door. You come through me, I'm going to save you. Not only am I going to save you, I'm going to provide for you, Jesus Christ says. Hey, I think we have all three in one person. That's Jesus Christ. You see, we have the door. We have salvation in Jesus Christ. And we also have all our provisions in Jesus Christ. He says, I will take care of you. The Bible says in Psalms 23 and verse 1. Psalms 23, Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. I can remember my dad telling us boys to go out and take care of the pasture. Sometimes thistles would grow up. And thistles would go in the hooves of the sheep and they would get infection. And so we'd have to cut down the thistles and we would have to go out and we would look for holes in the pasture. Sometimes different animals would dig in the pasture and the sheep can trip and hurt themselves. And so we would go and we would keep the pasture. I can also remember my dad driving past different farms and looking at pastures and saying, boy, that's a nice pasture. There's a lot of grass in that pasture. That pasture has water. There's a lot of benefit to having that pasture. We had two pastures. We would keep one for the early part of the spring, and then we would keep another one for the latter part of the summer. And they would go. We would rotate them back and forth and let the grass grow. But Jesus says here, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Jesus Christ brings you to the pastures that you need in your life. I may be in a different pasture than you're in this morning. You may be in a pasture that is green, a time of plenty. Seems like every time you open up your Bible, God is speaking to you. Huh? Every time you get down on your knees, God is answering your prayers. You might be in a green pasture. You might be in a time where it seems like everything is going just perfect at work. You might be in a time where your children are turning out and everything's going right with your kids just the way you want it. That might be the pasture that you are in right now. Might I say the pasture can switch in just seconds. Huh? We found that out this week. Things can change so quickly. But God may have brought you, Jesus Christ may have brought you to a pasture green and rich in blessings. But He also says, He leadeth me beside still waters. I can remember the Boundary Waters going up north in Minnesota and all those lakes up there. Yes, there are 10,000 lakes. And they say that there's good fishing up there. And I'll testify, yes, there's good fishing. I can remember going up there to those lakes. And in a quiet morning, in a very still morning, you can look across the lake and it's as if it is glass. As if you can walk out there on still water. Calming. You know, there's a calming feeling that comes over you and I in time of tragedy. And that's called grace. Huh? Jesus Christ brings you to that pasture of grace. I don't know what you're going through. Going through heartache, going through struggle, going through heartbreak. Jesus Christ knows exactly which pasture you need. And He can bring you right to those still waters. Brother Jason was talking to Brother Tom as he was looking at his daughter there lying in the hospital bed. He said, you know what, Brother Jason, I don't know why. I don't know why. But he said, I do know that God is still good. Huh? That's incredible. You're watching your little girl lying there on the hospital bed. And he says, I know God is good. God is good. You see, there's pastures of grace. There's pastures where all you and I have to do is say, God, we don't know why. But God, we're going to give it to You and we're going to let this situation, You take care of this situation. He leadeth us beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. There's some pastures where Jesus Christ brings us to, where all He's trying to do is encourage us, strengthen us, help us, and help us recover our strength for the spiritual battle, huh? Jesus Christ says, I will bring you to different pastures. Sometimes my spirit needs restoration. How about yours? All of us need restoration sometimes. We need that strengthening from God and God alone. And God sees that. And He'll bring you to those pastures where He can restore your soul. Then He says, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Sometimes you and I just need guidance. Sometimes you and I need guidance in raising our kids. Sometimes you and I may need some guidance in a situation at work. Or you may need a guidance of what occupation God wants you to get into, kids. You might need wisdom in a certain situation in your life. And God sees just that. Might I say there's one provider. And all of our needs are met in that one provider, Jesus Christ. He said, I shall go in and out and find pasture. His sheep don't go out of the sheepfold and find barren land and desert. He always finds the perfect pasture for them to graze in. The perfect pasture. You see, all three are wrapped up in one person. I've got to make sure that I go through the right door, Jesus Christ. I've got to make sure that I take the right solution, and that's Jesus Christ's blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary. And I've got to make sure that I'm with the right provider, Jesus Christ. He provides all my needs. So how about it this morning? Are you in the sheepfold? Are you going through a difficult time? Maybe you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If that's your case, I encourage you, I beg you this morning, don't leave Faith Baptist Church without coming through the door. You know that I'm speaking in figure of speech there. You must come to Jesus. Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary. And ask Him to wash away your sins. Ask Him to take you to heaven when you die. You see, we all have the same problem. Our problem is that we're sinners. We all need the same solution, Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Three in one. Three in one. How about it? Have you walked through the door? Have you accepted the solution to your need? Salvation. Have you allowed Jesus Christ to bring you to that pasture that you need? The shepherd can lead, but if the sheep don't follow, they aren't going to get to the right pasture. How about it? Through the Holy Spirit, speak to your heart. Maybe you say, Brother Caleb, I needed that message this morning. The Holy Spirit slipped by my pew, and He talked to me, convicted me of something. Or Brother Caleb, maybe Holy Spirit just comforted my heart about a situation that's going on in my life. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up? I'll pray for you. I see those hands. Slip your hand up. I see those hands. Let me put your hands down. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I've never walked through the door. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If I were to die right now, I'm not 100% sure that heaven would be my home. Say, Brother Caleb, I'm 99% sure, but there's just some doubt in my mind. Brother Caleb, would you pray for me? Is there anybody here? Let me ask you this. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, just slip your hand up. I have trusted Jesus Christ. I know that He is my Savior. I'm on my way to heaven. Slip your hand up. All right, you put your hands down. Maybe you weren't able to put your hands up and say, Brother Caleb, I want to know 100% sure. I want to know that heaven's my home. I want to accept Jesus Christ. Nobody's looking around. If you just slip your hand up, and I'll see you and I'll pray for you. Nobody's looking around. I see that hand. I see that hand. Who else? Maybe say, Brother Caleb, I need to just do some business here at the altar. Let me put your hand down. I need to do some business at the altar. The Holy Spirit convicted my heart. I'm going to come and I'm going to pray with God. I'm going to take care of the business that the Lord dealt with me about. Whatever the case is, I encourage you to respond if the Holy Spirit convicted your heart this morning. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask that You would come and that You would help us in the invitation. Lord, there's one that has raised their hand for salvation. Lord, I pray that You would help that person to accept You as a personal Savior, Lord. I pray, God, that You would help today to be the day of salvation for that person. Lord, we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you slipped your hand up for salvation, you said, Brother Caleb, I'm not 100% sure that I would go to heaven. We have some ladies up front here that would love to show you some scriptures about knowing that you're on your way to heaven. If you slipped your hand up, if you just look at me, just for a second, there we go. There we go. We have some ladies right up front that would love to show you a couple of verses. If you would just come forward, there we go. And they'll show you a couple of verses if you want to just come forward. And they'll take a couple of minutes. Go through those verses with you. There we go. Maybe if you came today and you said, Brother Caleb, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. I want to be baptized. Brother Caleb, would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up? You came today to get baptized, obey the Lord and believer's baptism. I've never been saved after I've never been baptized after I've been saved. Is there anybody here like that? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would help those who need to trust You as their Savior to do just that. Lord, I pray that You'd help those who need to get baptized to do that, Lord. Help those who need to come down and do business with You at the altar to take care of the situation that You dealt with them about. In Jesus' name we pray. As we stand to our feet, as the pianist and the organist begin playing, you come and you do work with the Lord. Do business with the Lord. If the Lord convicted your heart,